Welcome to the Tomahawk Take Podcast. This is Alan Carpenter, co-editor of the site, along with senior writer Fred Owens.
Hi there.
And we're going to just two-man it today, I think, unless Jake shows up at some point. But we'll talk about what in the world the Braves are going to do this offseason, how much they may have to spend, what in the world they're doing, recent news, and anything else going on in Major League Baseball. It's going to be a kind of a free flow of thoughts and ideas, and we're going to just wing it here and see how this thing goes. So what do you got going, Fred?
I don't know. Just don't hold us to anything in 6 months. This isn't a bet, all right?
Yeah, really.
Well, first off, I do the MLB TR Insider, and if you're not a member, please do that because it's great stuff. And they had a chat today. Let's talk about Ender Inciarte. Most of us don't think Ender's got much of a future with the Braves. He's got $7 million coming this year with a $700,000 signing bonus, and then he's got a big option for next year with a couple million buyout. Will they release him? What will they do with him? And the general information there was that somebody might want him in trade. I don't know. The idea was if you're going to sign a center fielder and you're not going to contend next year, why do you want to pay more for one center fielder than if you could get the Braves to take part of Inciarte's contract and throw in a player to be named later? And trade them birds or nothing for basically some payroll space. I don't know how that works. Alan, what do you think?
Well, this is what I've been begging the Braves to do that last year, is try to see if they could offload him and go ahead and bring up Christian Pache, because I didn't think Ender was going to hit anyway, and might as well go ahead and bring up Pache because you're going to lose nothing on defense. You're bringing up the guy who's going to be the future, and who cares if he didn't hit, because he wasn't going to do anything worse than Ender was anyway. So I would have done this kind of thing last year, and I think this year it's going to be much harder to do so. But I am kind of hopeful that at least in this environment, people are still looking for cheap center fielders or cheap anything, really. And if the Braves can offload his contract for maybe half of the value or something like that, they might even be able to get a decent prospect in return. Don't know who might be the guys who would be the targets for a trade like that. There are some folks out there who don't need to worry about either a bat or being competitive. So there might be a couple options there either way. But I think it's going to take probably half that contract to eat in order to get him moved. But I think what we saw at the end of this, end of September and into the playoffs, is that he's just completely fallen out of favor with the on-field management. And I think his days are gone. It's just a matter of how they're going to be able to unload him.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I love Ender because he's a great guy. I talked to him a lot when I met him in Kansas City for this VIP kind of thing. You go see a ball game and stuff. And he was just the nicest guy, helpful, friendly, genuine, talking to everybody, just happy to be among everybody. And, you know, it's hard to see a guy like that. Yeah, but Ender's not doing it. He hadn't done it the last half of last year. He didn't do it this year. And I know they waited till the end of the season so they wouldn't have to DFA him. So I think that that's probably this idea of trying to package him and trade him is good. If you take part of his money, maybe you do get a good prospect that's not Rule 5 eligible for a couple of years that can fill part of that hole in the minor league. So I'd like to see that happen because I know Pache is the future in center field, and Ronnie's going to be the right fielder. I'm not sure who's going to play left alongside Duvall at this point. I want to see Ender get a good place and a new start, and maybe have some success somewhere, because he did a lot of good things for the Braves.
Yeah, and I don't mean to demean him by any stretch of imagination. Just there's a point that comes into play where guys just can't quite get there anymore. We saw that with a guy like Michael Bourne, who was really, really good player for a long time, but then when he started to lose his legs out from under him, that sort of took everything away from him, and he wasn't the same afterwards. So yeah, it happens to everybody. It's unfortunate. I think we're starting to see that with Nick Markakis. His bat that's just not quite catching up to things that he used to catch up to. We're spoiling pitches and such. So, I mean, he's another, unfortunately, candidate for going somewhere else. He's a free agent, though, so it's a different situation there. The Braves don't need to pick him up at all. I think they might try and re-sign him at a lower rate. I think he's still a good influence in the clubhouse. He would be a good bench bat if he wants to take that role. But, I mean, he's in an interesting position in his career and his overall stats and such. And I think he would certainly prefer a full-time role. I'm just not sure where he's going to get it. And it's definitely not going to be with Atlanta. So the Braves are going to need to have, some additional outfielders for sure. Pache's going to almost certainly replace Inciarte. You're right. I don't know where we're going to get somebody to play alongside Duvall. I'm thinking platoon of some ilk. We wrote up something a couple of days ago about Adam Eaton. I don't know that he's the right answer there for sure. Jock Peterson was another one that got written up today, I believe, by Jake. And he makes more sense, I think, as a platoon option with Duvall. And of course, would cement Ronnie in right field, which is the position he needs to be in and needs to be in for probably the next dozen years or so.
Yeah, I think, I think the guy that really fits best there is the one we tried to sign 2 years ago and didn't get is Michael Brantley. He is what everybody said Nick Markakis would be. He is a contact hitter. He hits for power. He hits pitchers on both sides, although he prefers to hit, you know, he's best against right-handed pitchers. He plays good, not outstanding defense. He should move to left field and he's a free agent and you could probably get him for, you know, 2 at $14 million. So 28 over 2 years. He's what, 33, 34 years old. And that would be a nice bat because his bat has not slowed down. He's still catching up. And frankly, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Nick retires. And the reason I say that is he knows he didn't play well. And Nick's the kind of guy who's going to look in the mirror and say, well, guy, you know, you went out and you gave it hell. Okay. And it didn't work. And maybe I should, coach somewhere. You know, maybe I should be a hitting coach or a minor league manager or coach my kids high school or something. I don't know. I'm not pushing him to retire. I don't think the Braves invite him back because I think he's breathing air a younger, stronger player could be taking. And, that's what I feel about that. But Brantley and Peterson are the guys off the top of my head that fit that best. I'm not really on board with Eaton, at all in that context. But, you know, there may be others out there, but those are the two that I was thinking about.
Yeah, there could be several. And again, this is going to be one of those deals where, well, let's talk about how the offseason is going to go. I think that the big guys, the big free agents, your Marcelo Zunas are going to get paid, and they're going to get paid well by somebody, and they're going to get paid, you know, fairly reasonably early in the process, probably by November and December. After that, after those, the top free agents are gone, then we're going to have like nothing. It's going to be totally dead until probably the end of January, early February, when people start saying, well, I got to sign with somebody, because I don't think the team's got any money, whether it's the Braves or anybody else. I think there's going to be a lot of, well, today we saw it. Darren O'Day, got his option declined. I thought for sure with his stats, even at 38 years old, he'd get picked up because if anything, he's been getting better every year. It's kind of uncanny, how he's been going on his stats. His strikeouts continue to rise. His ERA continues to trend downward. It's crazy how good he really is at this age. And I thought $3.5 million would be a relative bargain for a guy that's doing his thing, even if it's a role player kind of deal in, as a reliever. Yet the Braves have decided to save $3 million, hand him his $500,000 buyout, and save some money. Now, I do have a theory about why they want to do that, perhaps, and that's because they may want to save every dollar they can to see if they can sign a pitcher or two. And if you get starting pitchers who can go some innings, you don't necessarily need to lean on the bullpen like we've done in the past. But that's the way I think the offseason is going to end up going is you're going to have an initial flurry, a big lull, and then a scramble at the end to see who's playing musical chairs and finding the right teams to go with at bargain rates in February. At least that's the expectation. I don't even remember where I was going with that. but the idea is that in terms of outfielders like a Brantley or Jock Peterson or, well, George Springer's going to be one of those top guys that gets paid, I think. But those kind of guys, I don't know when they are going to get their paychecks. I don't know that it's going to be an early thing. I think it's going to be a late thing. And the Braves could do some bargain shopping. I think everybody's going to be trying to do bargain shopping. And I think it's going to be a big fat mess again, almost like it was trying to get the 2020 season started, because everybody's going to be complaining, where's the money at? And the answer is they didn't get any in 2020. And that's going to be a problem that's going to plague the whole industry for really probably the next couple of years.
Yeah, the owner of the Colorado Rockies sent a letter to season ticket holders today saying that essentially it's going to be a long year because nobody knows now. Nobody knows now how many games we're going to play, whether fans are going to be allowed in the ballparks. He said if we have to play at 25%, he said it's just going to be a long off season. And if you play at 25% capacity, and teams getting 60% of their money from gate money, then the Braves had already lost $200 million by end of July. So when you start looking at losses in that area, that magnitude, you start to understand that, you know, I know these guys are millionaires. They got a lot of cash. No, they don't. They got a lot of assets, and it's not really cash, and it has to be liquefied, and that's lost thing and all this. So, you know, I don't tell me they're sitting on a pot of manic, reaching their pocket, throwing $1 billion out at the team. They can't do that. The idea that there are going to be people. Cohen, if he gets the nod this Friday in New York, is going to throw money at the team. And the guys who have the money to throw at the team and are willing to do that as part of the initial thing are going to be able to scoop up good free agents for pennies on the dollar. I think the Braves are going to have to look around and try to, you know, pick up pitcher here for trade or pitcher there for trade. You know, you got like Joe Musgrove is probably available this winter. John Gray, the Rockies really want to move Gray and would probably take a warm body pitcher for him or a warm body prospect for him just to move the $6 million because they're sitting on Arenado and Story's contracts and they're not going to be able to trade either one of those guys. And you know, if they're sitting at 25% capacity, they're in real trouble out there. So, you know, nobody knows at this point how many games are going to be played or anything like that. And when you don't know, and the National League guys don't know whether there's going to be a DH or not. So it's hard to fill your roster. I saw in the chat today that they don't believe that the DH will be there because there's not enough time to get an agreement between the two sides and formalize it and get it out there. And of course, you'll do it tomorrow morning. But there's not really enough time for the MLB and the MLBPA to get together and agree this and get it out there for next year. So the feeling I saw today was that they're going to probably do this in the next CBA. So that would mean that Ozuna has to go to the American League if he DHs, and he has to play in the outfield if he stays in the National League, which sort of brings his value down. I mean, to the National League teams and the American League teams aren't going to pay that much because, you know, they know the competition over there and there's only so many slots. I just think that it's going to be a really tight season. You're going to see players who have maybe are questioning in their mind about whether they're going to be able to, they really don't. A few years ago, somebody said, you know, they're really, players like to be done by Christmas. They want to know what they're going to do so they can tell their families what they're going to do. And if they look out there and say, I'm only going to get 50 cents on the dollar, and somebody offers them 50 cents on the dollar, they may take it. So you may see a few guys take it soon, and then the rest are going to be around fighting for the crumbs at the end of January.
Yeah, you're probably right on that, because there are guys who are willing to jump early. I don't know how many they're going to be, but you got to be able to read the tea leaves here and figure out that there's just not a lot of money going around, so you might as well take what you can get right away. I mean, that's what Travis d'Arnaud effectively did last year, was signing with Atlanta early, and I think the Braves were wise to go ahead and snap him up. You mentioned the DH. I am stunned that there hasn't already been at least a rumor going around about how they're going to handle this, because teams got to know. They really need to know right away how that's going to be handled. And the fact that we haven't even had a sniff out of the commissioner's office on that is unconscionable because, I mean, they're essentially saying yes, no, and yes over the next couple of years about DH in the National League. And you just can't run the business that way. You need to be able to have that so you can make your plans. Teams are making organizational meeting decisions over the next month, and they've got to have that information handy. So, yeah, they need to really have this buttoned up as soon as possible. And I haven't heard anything about it. You mentioned stadiums. Yeah, there's already been a few things like the Boston Marathon next April has already been canceled or at least deferred till fall. So certainly up in Massachusetts, the government is thinking that there's not going to be any way that you're going to have a control over this virus even at that point here. What is it, 6 months away from now? So certainly baseball is not going to be able to do anything better. And I think that we're in real trouble as an industry if you can't have some semblance of normalcy building before the end of this season, is this next season. Otherwise, we're going to have yet another repeat of what we got now. As the animosity was building between the two sides coming around in July, I can't imagine it's going to be any better this winter trying to get together and trying to figure out how in the world to divvy up funds and how to spend whatever you got. Because, yeah, you can't just lose, as you say, $200 million or more every single year. You just can't sustain that. And I don't know how in the world we're going to get around that. You mentioned Cohen too, and he's the one guy that I worry about, especially since he's in the National League East, because he is going to be able to go out and buy a JT Realmuto. He's going to be able to go out and buy a couple of pitchers because he desperately needs pitchers. He's going to be able to go out and buy a Shane Green or a Melanson or name your favorite relievers because they've got real needs. And they've got some real dollars available. And he's going to throw caution to the wind. He's trying to buy a championship. I think he might be able to get away with that this time because I think he's in a rare opportunity of having the cash, having the desire to do it, and seeing everybody else crippled around him. So Washington's going to be starting a rebuild. They just declined options on about half their roster, it seemed like. This week, the Marlins are still up and coming, but not there yet. The Braves are going to have to make some real hard decisions over the next couple of months. The Phillies, who knows what's going on, but they were already at the luxury tax threshold. I think they're kind of hamstrung still with what they've got already. So I think the Mets are poised in a particularly good position to make a unique set of decisions that may affect their roster for the next 2 or 3 years at least, that's going to probably be very competitive against the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah, the chat I was in today with Steve Adams of MLBTR, somebody asked about Mark Canha out of whether he would be available lower their pay. Would somebody be interested in trading for Mark Canha? And he said they might just not tender him, but I don't think a DH the White Sox might want him and things like that, but with the DH coming to the National League, he doesn't think that there's time for them to get it done because they haven't got it done. As you said, if they were going to do something, they would have done it by now. I mean, the idea that they can throw this thing together. Now, maybe, we don't know what's going on behind closed doors, and maybe they're having unofficial conversations about this, and they know what's going to happen, but they just haven't voted on it and don't want to say it publicly yet.
But nobody's leaked anything either, so that's kind of interesting.
Well, and this letter from Dave Montfort said there will be nothing normal about this offseason as the industry faces a new economic reality. That's the quote, and that's a pretty sharp poke in the ribs for the people saying, look, it's not going to be like it used to be. There's not going to be money to throw around. There's not going to be all big deals thrown around. It's going to be a completely different outfit. And I think that's true. I don't think anybody would imagine that. And the recent surges we've seen, I mean, I'm in Abilene, Texas, and they're talking about hey, look, we may have to mandate a few things and shut things down. And out here, that's them's fighting words, you know. We have not done that a lot, and but we're starting to catch the surge that everybody else had earlier. It's going to be rough, especially if the vaccine doesn't turn up. How effective is it? How soon can they get it out? Of course, first responders, healthcare providers, they're going to get it first. They should get it first because they're taking care of everybody else. But, you know, and if there's just going to be so much in this that I suspect that if the commissioner had any hair, he'd be pulling it out every night wondering how he's going to do it. Here's the quote on the DH. I don't see how they can do it if they don't agree to it in the very, very, very near future. Three varies there. This is going to influence whether some guys have club options to get picked up. Nelson Cruz prominently, but others like Ozuna, any first baseman, of some of the older corner infielders or outfielders. I lean towards no right now just because there's no indication they're working on it. Teams probably don't want any extra incentive to have to pay a Cruz, Brantley, Ozuna, or Moreland, etc. And there's no indication out of the offices. Nobody's indicated that anybody's working on anything. And this, I'm extemporizing here from what he said, but that's, if there's not a rumble, like you said, there hasn't been a rumor. Usually we have heard, you know, oh, well, you know, I've heard from this guy that that's going to happen. And maybe, and you get that two or three times around and, you know, something's bubbling. Nobody said that. And unless Alex Anthopoulos has taken over the communications up there, that kind of thing gets out. So,
that's right.
So, you know, we haven't heard that. And because these guys haven't heard it, I tend to agree with him. We're going to play without a DH next year. And that's going to mean less options for the Ozunas and Morelands and Cruises of the world, and certainly lower paychecks. It's going to be a rough and different kind of future. And the one team that has the one team that's losing nobody is the Rays.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, you're right.
Everybody on the Rays is ARB, pre-ARB, or under control, and the American League isn't.
Except Charlie Morton.
They have an option on Charlie.
Yeah, but they're not going to execute a 12 million buck option. They're not going to do that.
I don't know. I looked at their pay the other day and for 2021, and I think they have with the option. Where did I have it at here? I wrote it down somewhere. Where's that piece of scrap paper? I think they have something like on the order of $82 million on the books.
I'm checking that now.
And they have two options to pick up, Zunino and Morton. And the free agent, there's no free agents departing. They're going to bring back the same team.
They are now. They're committed to $62 million right now. But if they were to pick up Morton, that's actually $15 million, apparently.
Right. Yeah, it's $15 for him and $4 for Zunino.
So that would increase their payroll by 20% right there.
Right.
25%.
676 right now or something like that. So
he really wants to be back, but I can't fathom that they'll do that.
Well, they got the extra, they're going to get some money from the playoffs, not a lot, but they are going to get some money from it. And you know, they're going to look at this and say, oh, man, that's close. And everybody else is going to be buying, and we can bring the same guys back, and they know how to play pool. So we're going to sit around and we're going to do the same thing again. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just think the American League East is looking at Tampa and saying, man, they got everybody coming back. We got a problem.
Yeah, if I were running the Rays, that's the way I'd look at it. I just don't know that they're going to look at it that way because they never have. I think Zunino's gone. I think Morton's gone.
They'll
find somebody. They always do.
Tyler Flowers.
Yeah, maybe. They're going to look at it as he's not that critical a piece for $4.5 million or whatever it is. I think, yeah, that's what his option is. I mean, if they're going to pay anybody, it'll be him. But, I mean, at $4.5 million, he's still the 1, 2, 3, 4th highest paid guy on the team, tied with Tyler Glasnow. So, I mean, does a catcher garner that kind of money in Tampa? I don't know that he does. Morton would easily be number one at $15 million, which is why I don't think he's coming back. So
all points well taken. I agree.
Now, at this point, I'm going to stop and interject that now that we have the news, Tampa Bay, in fact, did decline the options on both Charlie Morton and Mike Zunino. Go figure. I think the hope is that they can re-sign them both at lower rates, but they're now free agents, so they've got the chance to go out and find their own deals. But we'll take a break right here and then come back and talk about the Braves more specifically. Now, that does dovetail into where the Braves' budget situation is and what they might have to spend, because they were just about maxed out. They were going to be just under the competitive balance tax, luxury tax threshold, if things had gone normally this year. But you had worked up some numbers already on what the Braves are looking at this point.
I have them right now. Okay, here's, first of all, let's say that I think they're going to non-tender Charlie Culberson, because that's what they did last year. And even though he's ARB3, I think they're going to non-tender him and say, hang around, Charlie, we may need you, because that's what they did. I also think they may non-tender Luke Jackson. Now, I have still counted him in this, but Luke is certainly a non-tender candidate at a couple million dollars there. But with Jackson on the roster and the arbitration numbers that I borrowed from Spotrac and guessed for Sean Newcomb, because I can't see how he doesn't get ARB1 this year, I have us at about $93 million for the first 16 players in the roster. And everybody after that is pre-ARB. So, you know, you've got, 12 guys at $500,000, roughly that each. You got like $7 million, $8 million there. So you're talking about $111 million total. I said on ESPN's Coastal the other day, I thought 130 is probably the top on this. So, you know, and that's, you know, optimistic. I don't know what you think, Al. I think that's optimistic.
Well, I think it may be optimistic, and it really doesn't leave a lot of room for adding starting pitching, which is what we desperately need. So, I don't know, Charlie Morton, John Gray, John Lester, Corey Kluber. You can name these big names, but you got to pay them too if you want to go at them. And I don't know how the Braves are going to be able to afford that and maybe another guy, because I think they need two.
And well, John Gray could probably be, he makes about $6.5 million this next year, I think. You know, and if you moved Ender, you might be able to slide that in there. I don't know, but okay. Yeah, there are, it's going to be that kind of calculus where you say, okay, if I slide this guy sideways here, I can wedge this guy into the list and still come in where we don't have to go on the corner with our begging bowl.
Yeah. The big takeaway here though is this: just because we're losing Mark Melanson's $14 million, just because we're losing Cole Hamels $18 million, just because we're losing Marcelo Zuna's $18 million, does not mean that the team's going to have another $50 million to spend. They don't have that money. It doesn't exist. And that's the gotcha here. So at this point, I'm going to say hello, Jake.
Hey.
Because Jake has just joined us on the call, and we're in the midst of trying to figure out what in the world the Braves are doing and what they could possibly do, and wanted to see what Jake's been doing and see what's up with that.
Yeah, so sorry, late to the call, but obviously wanted to jump in here as we haven't spoken in a couple of weeks, and now that I've gotten over the taste of defeat, I'm ready to talk a little baseball again, and glad to catch the tail end of Fred's comments there, because I have no idea what the Braves are going to have to spend this offseason, and I would be very happy if they get 230 again, which I know even Fred said is optimistic, but I think that's kind of a good baseline to kind of shoot for and guess and estimate. But, you know, just in terms of knowing how much these guys are going to get this offseason, like I wrote an article on Jock Peterson, you know, today, because I just think he makes a lot of sense, but I don't know what kind of deal he would be looking to get or what the Braves would look to offer him. And, you know, I think it's just a dangerous game to try to speculate on what each free agent's going to cost, because I think this market's going to be a lot different than what we're used to seeing. Maybe not. Maybe everything stays the same. I think a lot's going to be dependent, obviously, on whether or not we have the DH again or what attendance is going to look like for teams next year. Is there still going to be, you know, a limited capacity to start the season, or maybe the entire season next year they might have limited capacity, and or they might start the season with no fans in attendance. I think that has a lot to do with the decision making of how teams are going to approach this off season, but certainly going to be a different one, a strange one, and one that I think the Braves will be, you know, highly active in. You know, I heard you guys talking about, you know, needing starting pitching, you know, and Alan, I kind of agree with you. I think they probably need at least two. You know, we went into this season, the 2020 season, thinking we had a list of 10 guys to choose from, and a month into the season, we were just hoping for one or two. So you can never have enough, you know, starting pitching, and I think they'll, you know, do a good job, or Alex will do a good job of bringing in some good candidates to help fill out that rotation. But it'll be an interesting offseason. Again, I think the Braves will be very active. They should be very active. They should be very hungry. They were one win away from going to the World Series, and, you know, seeing the Dodgers win it, I think that would have been a very winnable series for the Braves, which just makes the pain come back again. But
stop that.
Yeah. but hopefully it makes them even more hungry this offseason to go out there and put a winning team together again, and one that can get the job done.
Well, that's the gotcha, is that we were so close, yet now everything seems to be pointing towards, so far, no DH, no fans in the stands, or minimal fans in the stands, which is going to make these teams just really uncertain and wary of signing anybody to any of any significance of a contract or any kind of players that you would think would be the kind of impact players that the Braves would need. And, you know, we've got the, we'd love to have Marcell Ozuna back. How can you possibly sign that guy when you have no idea what he's going to do in a role for the team? The answer can't be DH if you don't know you've got a DH. And that's just not only for this year, but it's also after the collective bargaining agreement. You can assume that that's going to be the case, but you could also be wrong. And yeah, if you want to even go out and get a trade done, say a J.D. Martinez, for instance, out of Boston, just to pick a name. If you try and do that kind of thing, you can't tell me that you can put him in the outfield if you don't have a DH slot. So no matter who you are, no matter what team you're on, no matter where you're at, you're hamstrung without that kind of information. Like, say, it's not just the position issues. It's going to be the pricing issues, because you don't know how much money you're going to have to spend. You don't know where it's going to come from. And I think that baseball is going to have a collective gut check this winter, because that's going to be the problem. You can't have your organizational meetings come up in the next month and say, here's what we want to do, when you have no idea what you can do. And that's going to be the gotcha.
And that's been my whole problem with the DH thing in the first place, is you got to give National League teams in advance, because decisions that they make now are going to affect, you know, the future, obviously. You know, say they don't have the DH in 2020 or 2021, but then it comes up again in the collective bargaining agreement after next season, and then it's put into place. Well, you know, that's going to affect what the Braves do this offseason, or what a lot of teams decide to do with players like Ozuna. You know, if they knew it was coming in 2022 season, then maybe they sign that player. You know, but if they don't know that, you know, you kind of have to give, if you're going to put the DH into place, and I understand why they did it for the 2020 season, I almost feel like you have to give National League teams a couple years notice to if you're going to do that, just because it's going to impact the decisions that they make. And I think it's kind of ridiculous to take it out for 2021, because it's almost certainly going to be in place when they have the new CBA. So I think it's kind of ridiculous not to have the DH this year, but that's gonna have a huge impact on Marcell Ozuna's market.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say we talked about that just before you joined, that the feeling that I got today in the MLBTR chat was that they haven't heard even a whisper that that's being discussed. And we are so close to the, as you said, we're so close to the point, a decision point here. Players are going to be optioned or released or signed based upon what they think next year is going to be. And they haven't got an agreement with the MLBPA, and those things take time. Now, the MLBPA said, sure, go ahead. But, you know, what's the chance of that? There are ways to do things out there, but it's going to be a rough off season for that. On Jock, I think you get Jock for, you know, 2 at 10. I don't think they're maybe 3 at 10. He's a straight platoon player during the season, but in the playoffs, man, you want Jock in your roster because he kills it in the playoffs. So, you know, he's a great platoon partner for Duvall. 2 or 3 at 10 maybe would get Jock. And Brantley, we talked about earlier, 2 at 14 will probably get Brantley. But we can't know, you know, if you're going to do that, you got to shuffle money around. So are you going to trade some of your pitching depth to player or your prospect depth to get players that aren't expensive now that you'll have control of for a couple of 3 years? Like, you know, I don't know, Jose Ramirez from Cleveland. Maybe the Cleveland wants to punch out, clear out its thing and get some prospect. Maybe they'll trade Ramirez, or maybe you'll get a player from maybe the Dodgers want to trade somebody and bring in Lindor or somebody like that. And you pick up a player like that, that's not costing much, but gives them space too. But it's just going to be a rough off season. And anybody expecting a team to go out that's not the Mets, the Dodgers, Giants, and, you know, maybe, you know, I think that's about it. There's about three teams out there that could go out and throw a lot of money out there and not worry about it. And if you're not those three teams, then you're looking the way of getting away cheap. And that's what we talked about earlier, 50 cents on the dollar.
One thing that I was thinking is that if you are Major League Baseball and the teams, then, and you want to try and continue to sort of put downward pressure on salaries, wouldn't you want to not have a DH in the National League? I mean, that would certainly reduce the market, like we say, of Ozuna and a couple other guys. And when you reduce the market, you reduce the salaries. It sounds collusionatory. It sounds like, if that's a word, it sounds like a collusion kind of a idea.
It is now.
but it certainly makes sense if that's what you're trying to accomplish. You're not going to sign guys that you can get later in late January or February to these middling contracts. I think you're going to get the stars signed in December only, and everybody else is going to have to wait because you could certainly say that the later you wait, the better information you're going to have about how much money you're going to get. And that may be the answer for a lot of these clubs, is that they're going to have to wait and see. And that'll make players wait and see. And I think it's going to be a big fat mess come the end of January when you've got 100 free agents still out there on the market that are very viable and still unemployed.
What's going to be interesting is, you know, the last two offseason, Alex has been very aggressive out of the gate and then quiet and then kind of just waited to see how the dust settles. You know, I wonder how he's going to approach this offseason, you know, with us not really having a clear picture, you know, of what everything's going to look like. If maybe he goes out and aggressive early and tries to steal a couple guys, you know, maybe on some cheap deals, because you got to think of the player side of this too. They don't know what this free agency is going to look like. Maybe they're worried about, you know, getting left behind if they wait too long. So you may have players that are eager to sign. Maybe Alex is able to go out there and get a couple deals early and get them done. You know, I'm curious to see, you know, just how aggressive he will be this offseason, you know, just considering the fact that he's been pretty aggressive out of the gate the last two off seasons.
Yeah, he's been doing primarily free agents and not so much trades, but I do wonder if this situation, this new normal, may open up the trade market a little bit more. If you can find these cheap, controllable guys, John Gray, you mentioned Fred, for instance, as a key one there. If maybe you might push a little bit more to get trades done, and then you don't have to go out and try and outbid somebody to get somebody's services, because I don't think anybody really wants to spend the money. And if you can get somebody on the cheap that way, that might be the way to go.
Yeah, I think the trade market is there. And the value of pre-arb players just went through the roof. Okay, so you've got a pre-arb player there. You've got an Ian Anderson or a Kyle Wright or so. I mean, those guys are pre-arb. They're out there. They're under control. They've shown they can do it. Those guys are worth their weight in gold, literally. And so you go out and you look at places that need those and have contracts they want to move. We're not talking about Yankees and people like that, but if you look at, you know, the Cleveland Indians of the group, the Pittsburgh Pirates, the places that they're trying to pair payroll. Boy, I almost tripped over that. the places they're trying to pair payroll, you might pick up. I checked on, I don't know why Jose Ramirez came into mind, but he did. Jose Ramirez is owed $9 million next year, 11 and 13 for with an option years. And that's a pretty good ball player for that kind of money. And so do you need a bat? And Jose's definitely a bat. So do you go out and swing a couple of prospects there and take that 3 years of guarantee and hope by the end of 2023 that things have evened out and you've got money there? Or do you sit tight and say, well, let's just wait and see what things happen and we'll play it by ear and we'll look at it this time next year? I mean, that's the decision that's made based upon how much debt they're willing to take on to run next year. Because if they are running at 25% capacity or 30% capacity in the stands next year, and if the season is not 162 games, then at some point along the line, this economic crunch begins to bite really, really hard on the teams that are barely making it now, and that becomes a problem.
And I think that's why we saw today Cleveland is setting up Brad Hand and telling everybody who might be interested that he's available for nothing, because they've DFA'd him. They've set him up for
put him on outright waivers. They didn't DFA him.
I'm sorry. Yes, I knew that wasn't right, but I couldn't think of the term. In any case, they're trying to they're essentially telling the world we're dumping payroll. So I think anybody who's on their squad is available in that way. And I think you're going to see other teams do the same kind of thing. Cleveland's just getting out ahead of it and trying to see if they can make the best of it early. And I think that's a wise move on their part. You may see a bunch of deals that are based solely on the dollars here. And you're probably right. These pre-arb guys are going to be a key part of that. So. Jake, you got anything else? We're about ready to wrap up here. I don't know if we got anything that you wanted to talk about, but feel free to jump right in with whatever you got here to finish us off.
No, I'll say, you know, I've written a lot of this in post on, you know, Tomahawk Take website and stuff, just kind of reviewing, you know, the season. You know, I think it's a great accomplishment what the Braves did in 2020, you know, despite everything that they had going on, especially, you know, with the injuries, specifically to Mike Soroka. You know, obviously it's hard to reflect on the postseason and not think about, you know, how it may have been different with him in there or the healthy Cole Hamels. And that's a tough road to go down. But I really, you know, I'm really proud of what the Braves did. I'll say, you know, going forward in this offseason, looking at, you know, the things where I want to see them improve, you know, it's hard to argue with an offense that was electrifying as this offense was, but I still have a hard time believing that type of offense is going to succeed in the postseason. This kind of, you know, wait for the 3-run homer kind of mentality. I would like to see them change that philosophy a little bit, or at least add a couple bats to the lineup that have that mentality. You know, it was just so obvious seeing the Dodgers hitters and the way they just were patient at the plate, waited for their pitch, fouled off tough pitches. You know, the game 7's a perfect example. That Kiki Hernandez at bat and the Cody Bellinger at bat, they fouled off tough pitches. They were deep at bats. They got a mistake and they didn't miss it. We just don't have enough of that in the Braves lineup, in my opinion, even with Ozuna. You know, I think you have Freddie that does that, and that's about it. Ozzy's going up there. He's looking to hunt. He's trying to swing. You know, even Ronnie is like that. Ronnie did a lot better this year of working and getting back into counts. But he's still, you know, he's still a pretty aggressive hitter. I just would like to see them approach that a little differently. You know, that's why I really like the Michael Brantley idea, because I think he's a professional hitter, and I hate to say that because that's what everybody says Nick Markakis is, but I think he's even more of a professional hitter, a better professional hitter. He's going to give you a good at bat, and I just don't think the Braves had enough of that up and down their lineup. And so, you know, I think that's the one thing I would like to see them focus on more this off season is getting those types of hitters. I actually feel really good about the starting rotation, you know, with Soroka, Fried, Anderson, Wright, maybe even Bryce Wilson now gets another crack at it. You know, I think there's some good depth there, but still would like to see them get a veteran guy or two to kind of fill it out. And help give you some insurance. And the bullpen, I think, will be really good again. Obviously, you know, losing Melanson and Green, those are two really big pieces of that bullpen. I feel like the Braves will bring at least one of them back, if not both. So I think they'll still have a very good bullpen. So, you know, I don't think there's a ton the Braves need to do this offseason, but there are definite holes that need to be filled. You know, specifically, I think they need to find a left-handed bat. You know, Freddie Freeman was the only lefty bat we could really depend on this year. Sorry to the Markakis lovers out there, but he was really the only lefty bat we had. I think that's got to be a priority. And then just, you know, like I said, finding those types of hitters that are going to give you a professional bat, because I think that's what really plays in the postseason. You know, but that's just kind of my takeaway of the season and how I kind of view the off season coming up for the Braves, which again, I'm really excited about because I think Antopoulos is going to be pretty active again, being so close. I think it just motivates them even more.
Gee, Michael Brantley is a left-handed hitter. Okay.
Yeah. What about that?
Fred, you got anything else?
Well, I think that if we had told you at the start of the season that the Braves were going to take the LCS to game 7 and get beat on a base running mistake, we'd have all been jumping up and down and said, yeah, we'll buy that. We'll buy that. Even with Soroka, yeah, we'll buy that, because you know, that's a hell of a job. Those guys, they pulled a lot of it out of their billfold at the last minute. And you know, Jake, I agree with you 100%. The lineup is too inconsistent in the lower third particularly, but throughout they just don't do enough smart at bats, okay? And a lot of them are young players, and I understand that, but, you know, you're right. A Michael Brantley in the lineup would be a lot better because, as I said this earlier, and all the Markakis people are already sending me hate mail, I'm sure, Michael Brantley is what Markakis was supposed to be, okay? He's a power bat. He's a good hitter. He hits pitches from both sides of the plate, although he prefers right-handers, hitting against right-handers. And he's there every day, and he's consistent and steady and does his job. He's getting older, too. He's probably a left fielder now. But Brantley is the guy. Or, you know, or Jock. Peterson, he's that guy, too, for left-hand side. He's going to kill right-handed pitching. But they need to strengthen it. The question is, okay, do you really think that Austin Riley is going to be the guy? Or do you sell high on him as a prospect and bring in somebody else? Do you keep Bryce Wilson because he had that great pick, that great game in the LCS? Or do you say, hey, everybody likes him now. He's got really a lot of value, and I'm not sure he's anything but a bullpen piece. Let's trade him. There's a lot of this going on behind the scenes, and I think that's the way. Okay, I'll put it this way. I'm not putting it on anybody. If I was doing it, that's what I would look to do. I would look to find people who I had 2 or 3 years of control that are the kind of players that Jake talked about that come in the lineup. They give you good at bats. They don't give up. They can fight pitchers all the way through. If you put two more of those guys in the lineup, that makes everybody else better in the lineup. Darno cannot be the cleanup hitter because catchers wear out too quickly in the season. He needs to hit fifth or sixth in the lineup, and we need to have a cleanup hitter in the cleanup spot so that Darno doesn't have to try to get all that gear and do this every game, every game, every game. He was wearing down towards the end of the year. But, you know, absolutely right. The Braves should be tremendously proud of those young players, of the leadership that they had on the field. They did everything nearly right, and they gave the Dodgers everything that the Dodgers wanted to see and more. Davey Roberts doesn't want to see the Braves again next week, okay, because he would not like that matchup. So these guys, you need to be proud of this team. This team did an awfully lot, awful lot of good things this year, and they're going to do more in the future, but they need some help.
Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for this session. We're going to just have to sit back and watch with the rest of y'all to see what in the world the Braves are going to do. Maybe Freddie Freeman will go to Anthopoulos and say, hey, I'd like to pull a Chipper Jones and reduce my contract so you can buy some players this offseason. That'd be good. As short of that, we're going to all just sort of pray that the Liberty Media gives them some rope to be able to hang themselves with this off season. But other than that, we will talk to you next time, and we'll learn what happens together. So thanks for listening today. Please subscribe to the Tomahawk Take podcast wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you next time. This, the 34th episode of the Tomahawk Take podcast on the blueprints for a Spartan spending off season, has been a production of TomahawkTake.com and Fansided LLC, a subsidiary of Minute Media, Inc. Opinions expressed on the show today are those of the participants alone. Minute Media disavows all of them. All rights reserved. One of the musical selections used today comes to you under the auspices of the Creative Commons license, terms of which are available at creativecommons.org/licenses/by/4.0. This was a piece by Kevin MacLeod entitled Batty McFadden. His works are featured at incompetech.filmmusic.io. All other selections used come via rights purchased by TomahawkTake.com. Thanks for putting up with us today, and we hope and pray that you pick up our options for the next episode. See you next inning.